go. So I'm going to open again in Hebrews 4, verse 12. And we're going to see some instructions that God gives us in terms of how we approach the word and what we do with the word. So let's just read, let's let the scripture speak. And I want you to act as if you've never heard the word before, but it's going to be fresh and new, because the word is it's always a now word. It's like faith is now faith. Here we have the word of God, and this is what it says. It says the word, I'm reading from verse 12 of Hebrews 4, the word that God speaks, the continuous presence, because the word is eternal, as it's going to come out, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that is soul, and the immortal, that is spirit, and of joints and of marrow, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Now, if I go over to 1 Peter 1, let's just read what our relationship is to the word. If the word can do what I've just read, the word knows us. The word is living and active. The word knows us. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It says, you have been regenerated, in brackets and the Amplified, born again, not from a mortal seed, but from one that is immortal, by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. Can I have a different version there? Just read that to me. The living and enduring Word of God. A few years ago, I was coming up to minister, and we had a wonderful musician who was playing, and he was playing and he was singing, and it was suddenly, it's like God quickened my eyesight, and I saw with my, it seemed like with my natural eyes, it couldn't have been, but I saw into the spirit realm, and as he was singing the Word of God, I saw these words going out, and they were gold, and all gold, and the words were actually pulsating. They were living and active, and they were drifting off into the atmosphere, and out from the atmosphere, almost like the ripples. You know when you throw a stone into a pond, how the ripples go out and out and out and out, and in a world where there wasn't friction, those ripples would keep going forever. And that's what the Word of God does. And I suddenly saw, this is going out into the heavens, and it's literally pulsating, and it's eternal, it's living. And I was astounded. But that's what the Word of God is like. Now, we have to absorb the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful and effective in our life. It does a number of things, and just a brief bit of revision, which is not a bad thing, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, not by knowing. So if we just go over from Hebrews, we're in Hebrews, let's go to James chapter 1, it's just the next book along. And let's have a look at verse 21 of James 1. Remember I mentioned this last week? It says, James 1 verse 21, get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. Okay, and in a humble, this is the bit I want you to hear. It says, in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. You see, we must be humble as the word is introduced to us. It says, welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. Isn't that beautiful? If you've got distress in your life, if you, and I'm talking about in the natural life that we live. Remember, we are spirit beings. We live in a body, and we have a soul. So we have spirit, a soul, and a body. And the soulish area is the area that is in contact with the everyday lives. And the soulish area is the area where God is working. And that's why it says that the Word is able to divide spirit and soul, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So the Word is able to speak into the situation within us, because our soul and our spirit are so close. It's such a union that often we mistake our own thoughts for God's thoughts, and if we don't know the Word, we mistake God's thoughts for our thoughts. And so that's why the Word of God is able to divide those two things, so that we're able to discern. And literally, as I said, because we are born of the Word, and because the Word is living and active and has this ability in our lives, the Word knows us. It literally knows us. God's Word knows us. And God's Word, that as we absorb it, we become it. It's amazing. But it says here, the Word implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. The Word will literally set us free from distress. The Word will set us free from dis-ease. The Word will set us free from wrong thinking. It will judge our motives. It will literally set us free and bring us into the place where we are thinking the pure thoughts of God. Remember Romans 12:2? Let's just go there. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Because we were speaking about our souls are exposed to all the influences in this world, to the media, to the education, to the culture, to the our family traditions, to our experiences. We are exposed to all that stuff, and that stuff can affect us. So this is, and it can cause us to be a certain type of person, unfortunately. But there's something greater than that. Look at chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, it said, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. That is just such an amazing statement. The Bible is saying, if you are transformed by changing your thinking, then this will happen. And so what does it mean that we have to do? We have to get a hold of the Word and absorb it. And the Word of God does a number of things. It changes us, it saves our souls, and as we said in Acts 20, last bit of revision, and then we're moving on. In Acts verse 20, just back a book, we're pretty close to it. Paul is in a position where he's labored and preached to Acts chapter 20, and I'm looking now, verse 31. Acts 20, verse 31. This is Paul speaking to people that he's loved and labored among, amongst. Acts 20, verse 31. This is what Paul says, and these are leaders that he's speaking to. He says, always be alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped, night or day, seriously to admonish, advise, and exhort you one by one with tears. So these are precious people that Paul has labored amongst. And he's wept tears over them. And he says, and now, brethren, verse 32, I commit you to God. I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. and I commend you to the word of his grace, to the word that is the word of God, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. Where are the promises? They in the word. And it says, look at this. This word, it says, it is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. The word of God can bring us into our inheritance. And what is our inheritance? Amongst other things, our inheritance is the world. If you read in Romans 4, it speaks about how God promised the world to Abraham and his posterity. And we know that Christ was in Abraham in seed form at that stage, and we are in Christ, therefore, and we are co-heirs with Christ. That means part of our inheritance is this world that we see around us, and the world that is going to be restored and renewed. So that's just a little bit of it. Jesus says, everything the Father has is mine, and we are co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? It tells us that in Romans 8 would be one place we can see that. So, okay, I haven't. Oh yeah, it's 15, 16, 17. Look at that. It says, in fact, let's read verse 16. It says, Romans 8. So I'm just talking a bit about our inheritance in Christ. And we're just thinking this word, as I've just read in Acts 20, is able to give us our inheritance. It says here, the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. All right, now we're speaking about the born-again experience. I'm going to speak a little more about that later. And in verse 17 it says, and if we are his children, then we are also his heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. That's with Jesus. Only we must share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. Now we know that as we move into devoting our lives to the word and allowing the word to become us and us to become the word, we literally, that's how you become conformed to the image of Christ. Isn't that a great and glorious call? Literally to be molded and conformed to the image of Christ. This is what the word will do. The word will bring us to a place where we can inherit. It will bring us into our inheritance. It will save our souls. And the word will reveal the mind of God to us. Okay, let's look at now. Now we can move on. So that was where we were last week. For those, just a quick refresher. Let's go to Matthew 13. Now let's just, I just want to look at the attitude to the word. So we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And it'll just help us. It'll help us to be those in whom the word is fruitful. I just feel the Lord saying we must just turn to, let's just turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry, keep your finger in Matthew 13 because I'm coming back there. There's just something more he wants to show you about the word. Proverbs 4, yeah. And Proverbs 3. You can read Proverbs 3 as well. Just the things that I'm going to pick up. And we're going to look in verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Okay, you there? My son, Proverbs 4, verse 20, that's what I'm reading now. Fingers still in Matthew 13. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. That in itself, my sayings. You know, what are the sayings of God? What is he referring to? It can be the sayings of Jesus, the sayings in the Word. For instance, Jesus, one of his sayings would be, if you believe, then all things are possible. That's a saying of God. It's also the sayings of the Holy Spirit. We read about the Antioch church. Lois did a good job, it's about 3 weeks ago. And she was saying that there were prophets and teachers and they were ministering to the Lord, and the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. Those are the saints. So we're talking about all the saints of God. And look what he says in verse 21. So he says, attend to my words and submit to my saints. Verse 21, let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Why? Here's just more reason. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. We spoke about the word can save our souls, the word can save your body as well. Isn't that stunning? Healing and health to all their flesh. So God has addressed every part of our life, spirit, soul, and body, by his word. The word of God will minister to every part of our life. If you need wisdom, we didn't look at Proverbs 3. Read Proverbs 3 and understand that the word is your wisdom. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, Christ is our wisdom. Christ is the Word. So the Word is our wisdom. The Word is our understanding. The Word is our power. Power for healing. Power for life. Power for peace. So let's go now and let's have a look at Matthew 13. Okay, back on track. And I'm going to read from verse 1 of Matthew 13. We're going to read this parable, and then we're going to unpack it and see how it applies to us. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting beside the sea. But such great crowds gathered about him that he got into a boat and remained sitting there while all the throng stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. I mean, that in itself is an amazing statement. We know every single one of us has ears. So what's he talking about? He who has ears to hear. We all have ears. But it's what we choose to hear. And he's saying, choose to hear the things of God. Choose to comprehend and choose to understand. It is a choice. You see, for some people, there's other things they're into. They're not into the Word of God. And so they do not hear. And it just sounds like stories to them. So let's just carry on and let's just see the unpacking of this by Jesus. Jesus himself interprets it. In verse 10, it says, the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Thank God, to us it's been given. The Spirit of God is given us. And we looked at that the week before. where Jesus said it's for your good. John 16, verse, from verse 7 and then up into verse 13, he starts speaking about what the Spirit is going to do. He said, it's for your good that I go away, because if I don't go away, I won't send them to be with you. But then the Spirit comes, and the Spirit is the one who teaches us the things of God. So, and He is the one who opens our ears and brings understanding. And so, isn't it wonderful when He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. To us, to each one of you, that opportunity and that ability is available to you. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me, teach me. Alright, look at verse 12. Whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly, so he will have an abundance. And from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is the reason I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. How does it say in the Word, Hebrews 10 verse 17, that faith comes? We are those who have faith. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. In other words, I choose to hear the things of God. And I say, I choose to believe. Because belief, so many times Jesus says, to those who believe, to those who believe, to those who believe. We've got to make a decision. Is the Word, I've just read to you what the Word can do, that it can give you your inheritance, that it can save your soul, that it's living and active, and that the Word of God, in fact, the Word of God, stay in Matthew 13, go to Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. We know, it tells us in Philippians, that God has given Jesus the name that is above all name. That at His name, every knee shall bow. In the earth, on the earth, in the age to come, in all creation, that is the name above all names. That's what God has given Jesus. But look what it says here in verse 2. David writing, he says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, and for your truth and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all else your name, and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. You see how seriously God takes His word. It says He's magnified His word above His name. I sort of had to read that twice because I thought, wow, you've given Jesus such a wonderful name. And it says, above the name of God is the Word. It's impossible for God to lie. God stands fully. I believe it is such a serious thing that if God did not honor the Word and did not enforce the Word, then He would cease to exist. Because He has magnified it above His name. He cannot lie. So this is a dependable word. We can rely on it. We can trust it. It's got the backing of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's endorsed as eternal. It's endorsed as truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's truth. You can bet your life on this word. Not that I would bet, I would just trust, put my life into the care of the word, because the word knows it, as I said. Alright, so what does it say here? We were looking in verse 13. I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. And he says that this is a process of prophecy, and then he says the nation's heart is dull, and it says that if they understood, look at verse, the end of verse 15, says, if they understood, he said he would heal them. But look at this. Blessed, happy, to be fortunate are you, because you do see and your ears hear. Your ears hear. Alright, so let's just think about the meaning of the parable of the sower. And I just want us to check ourselves. Where are we as regards the word? Where do we stand in terms of what he's saying here? Let's look at verse 19. This is the meaning of the parable, he says. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. Alright, so this is where we do not honor and where we do not give the word the place of authority, the place not reverence, not preference. I've just lost the word I want. Priority. We've got to give it priority. Okay? And that comes about value. But that's why as you study the things of God, it says in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, it says we have everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is knowledge. And what happens with the word, as you learn more and more about the word, I suddenly start seeing, wow, this thing is amazing. The word is amazing. So I give it top priority. But what happens is, it says, anyone hearing the word who does not grasp it, first you have to hold it. You've got to take a hold of it. You've got to lay hold of it. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Grab the word when it comes to you. Grab it. Lay a hold of it. Okay? And you've got to hold on to it. And I'm going to speak about how we hold on to the word just afterwards, once we've just ascertained, you know, what's happening in our life. All right, so the first bit is, it's not understood, and it's not held on to. Alright, then verse 20. So that can be one situation that happens. Verse 20 says, as for what was sown on the rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no root in him, but is temporary. It lasts a little while, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, it doesn't say if persecution comes on account of the word. It says when. You see that? When. So many times we looked at Proverbs 4 where it says, listen to the sayings of the Lord. And we used to run a business. It was a carpet business. So we did carpet cleaning, which is the one thing, and we did carpet laying, and we did flood damage repair. Fortunately, we had lots of business at the time because we had lots of floods that went through the Durban area when we were in business. But what would happen is we would pray and we would ask God for direction. And then I would get what I felt was an instruction. And that would either be through me seeing in a vision what God was doing. I was still learning to hear the saying, to grasp it, and to walk in it. And then what would happen is I believe God's saying, do something. And then I would try it. And immediately circumstances would come and everything would prove that I hadn't heard God. And I realized, hey, hold on. This is coming to undermine my faith, because we fight the fight, the good fight of faith. That's what we fight as Christians. It's to take the word and to say, that's the word to me. I'm going to walk in it. And then circumstance will come against you to show you, oh, you didn't hear right or whatever. And that was what was happening. And I would go to heaven and say, I believe God's saying we've got to do this and that in the business. And then 3 weeks later, I'd come and say, I believe God's saying we've got to do this, that, and other. Because in the previous 3 weeks, circumstances and difficulty and persecution had come against us for the word's sake, to show us that the word was not, that was not the word of the Lord, that I had just made that up. Isn't that amazing? You see how, and that's where we've got to stand in faith, and we've got to allow the peace of God to be our umpire. But I'm going into some different areas now. I just want to show you, persecution comes for the word's sake. And we can unpack some other time the how we hear. So now, where am I? It says here, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble, he is repelled and begins to distrust. For instance, we've had people, literally we've laid hands on them, they've been 100% healed. And I know that there was a woman who was 100% healed of arthritis. She was so, and Patricia and Lois were there, they saw. This what a sweet, dear lady, we love her. And but she was really struggling with like big lumps in her joints, and it's an ugly thing, arthritis. It is an ugly, ugly thing. She was literally leaping up and down like a young calf just let out the stall, sort of thing, shrieking and carrying on. And then symptoms came to challenge, were you healed? And the word was, by his stripes you were healed. And she received it, and it manifested. Literally, she was doing things she couldn't do. So we weren't imagining this. It was real. And then there was a challenge on that word. There was a challenge on that healing, and it came. And what happened? She lost it. And she's now had operations. Anyway, we haven't spoken to her for a few years. But that is what happens when the word doesn't have root. Where you don't hold it. That word is mine to hold. Okay, and it says here, so this is rocky soil. It says, as for what was sown on the rocky soil, verse 20, this is he who hears the word, welcomes and accepts it with joy. Because the word works. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. That's all there is. This word is powerful. Stay in Matthew 13. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, keep your finger in Matthew 13, because I'm not finished there. I'm just throwing bits in as the Lord's given them to me to speak to you. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. 37, sorry, I'm reading wrong. 37. Who wants to read it to me? And, yeah? Is that all it says in your version? Nothing's impossible to God. Oh, this one's different. Okay, I'll read you this one, and let's see if anyone's got it. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That's the Amplified. In other words, the word carries the power in itself to do what it's sent to do. And in Isaiah, I can't look it up now, but I know it says that no word that is sent shall return void. That God watches over his word. It shall not return void. In other words, it shall not return without having accomplished what it's sent to do. So this word is not just, you know, words written on a page that we look at and say, that's interesting. This word is living and active. That was our opening scripture. It's living and active. And as I said, that was what I saw when I was on the stage. So we're back to, so we're reading verse 21 about the real root. When I spoke about people that have been healed and they haven't held on to their root, I mean onto their healing. All right, let's look at verse 22 now. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world the pleasure, delight, and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Isn't it amazing how when we decide to press into God, how a whole lot of stuff will come along. We'll have some responsibilities, or the demands will be made on us, and it's almost like your time that you're wanting to, and your energy that you're wanting to put into the word is hijacked. It's literally hijacked. Oh no, I didn't want to be dealing with this now, and now this has come up, or that's come up. That's one way that happens. Or the other thing is, you know, all the responsibilities and concerns. People have people just draining off them. Or people have, you know, financial issues. And let me tell you, we've been in a situation where we owned a packaging factory. We were really blessed. We were making so much money. We were millionaires. And we kind of... But then there was another whole lot of concern and trouble. People think that if you've got lots of money, you know, that, it will be so easy. It's not the case. It's not. I've been both ends. I prefer to have money, but this time I'm going to have money with no sorrow. It says the Lord adds blessing without sorrow. So let me tell you, the cares, the anxieties, the concerns of the world come along and they distract you. They suffocate the word and it yields no fruit. And then look at verse 23. This is the good stuff. Okay, so we're going to speak about how we do this. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word, grasps. In other words, grabs it, accepts it, comprehends it. How do you comprehend the word? We've got to comprehend the word by, we chew on it, we meditate on it, we think about it, we spend the time working with that word. How does this work? You know, like I just love Mary in the book of Luke. You've got Mary and Zechariah. That's two examples of what I'm talking about. Mary says to the angel, look, I don't understand what you're saying to me when he says you'll be overshadowed and that which will be born in you is God. And she says, well, how can this be? I don't know a man. She's fascinated, but she's looking for understanding. Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist, he just says, no, that's impossible. He discounts the word, and so he gets struck dumb. And so we must have the attitude to the word of, well, look, how can this be? Is this me, Lord? And how does this apply to me? How does it work? I know, I've been someone, ever since I was little, I remember my dad used to have these lawnmowers, and he wasn't very mechanical. And I used to get hold of the lawnmowers, and I'm young, I just pull it to pieces, and then there'd just be pieces everywhere. I was fascinated by machines, and then he would have to take them in and get them put together and fixed. You know, but I would try and fix them for him. And that's how I am. I just like to unpack things. So, I mean, just fairly recently, we've got a vacuum cleaner, and the vacuum cleaner broke. A Kirby vacuum cleaner. I don't know if any of you know them, the American ones. But they're brilliant. They're made out of metal, not plastic. And they're built for life. Anyway, I pulled this thing to pieces, and I had pieces all over the place, and I was looking to fix it up and see what was wrong with it. And we had someone, we were still leading Bridgeway, and the guy came and he said, what? One of the guys from Bridgeway Church, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? And I said, oh no, I'm just fixing the vacuum cleaner. And eventually there was one part that I didn't have. So we took it into the Kirby people, and the guy, he wanted to tear a strip off me. He said, you should never have touched this. You have no right to touch this. You're not trained. You're not this. You're not that. So I laughed at him. Anyway, he charged me £150 to put all the parts in and put it together again. I said, no, next time, that's not going in. Anyway, the next time it broke, pulled it to pieces again and fixed it. Because I want to know how things work. That's what I'm saying. That's just how I am. So I love to know how things work. I love to know how the things of God work. In Habakkuk 2 verse 14, it speaks about the time that's coming when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. How is that going to work? I want to know. How do we do the works of God? I want to know. And this is what you need to be doing. So it says here, verse 23, as for the word that's sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. Now do not think you will understand everything straight away. But have an attitude of, I'm going to open this thing up. I'm going to get my spanners and I'm going to make a mess of it if I have to, because God's word is big enough to stand being dismantled and pulled and chewed and wrestled with and put down and picked up again. But that's how you understand the word. You take it seriously and you work with it and work with it and work with it, and you say, how does it work, Holy Spirit? You're my teacher. How does this work? And trust him. He will bring the understanding. Alright, so let's think about the word of God now. How do we grasp it? As I said, the one thing, and understand it and make it work and make it yield a hundredfold return. That's what we want to know. How do we do that? So I said, I've given a bit of an intro to that. You work with it. Get a word and work with it. Hold on to it. Don't put it down. Try and dismantle it. Try and find another word that speaks the same thing. So that's the first thing you do. But then the next thing that is vital, that's important, is to speak it. That's part of owning the word. And let's just look how the things of God work. Let's just turn to Romans 10 verse 10. And it's funny, I was having this conversation with David the other day. I was saying, what is the difference between someone who is saved and someone who is not saved? Is it understanding? Is it believing? What is it? Because if you think about it, it says that even the demons believe and tremble. So it's not believing. So let's have a look at Romans 10. Well, I'm going to be reading 10, 9 and 10. So let's just understand. It's important that we know this. Okay, in fact, let's go to 8. Verse 8. Romans 10 verse 8. I want you to get this, because this is going to unleash you in terms of the effectiveness, the fruitfulness. I don't want to go on too long, so we'll... Okay. Verse 8. What does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, that's the word, is near you. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. How did it get there? Because you said, I'm going to unpack this thing. I'm going to get my mental spanners, and I'm going to pull it to pieces, and I'm going to see how it works and what it really means, and can it stand up to my scrutiny, which we know it will and can. And it's a living, active thing that knows you. It will speak to you while you're speaking to it, etc. So the word is near you. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Do you see that? So do you see how this hundredfold return works? Okay? Now look here, verse 9. And this is the difference between someone who's born again and someone who's not born again. And it's essential that we know this, because we have to. God is wanting a harvest of souls. Not so that, you know, there can be trophies. They look at all these people. No. Because he loves them. And because he knows what eternal separation from God is going to mean. It's going to be a terrible thing when the salvation of God is so close. Alright, so it says in verse 9. This is it. Okay, so the word's with you. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. And it says, because... Verse 9, if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe. How do you believe in your heart? Many of us, I had to hear the word many times, the word of salvation. And I didn't understand the power of the word, and I didn't have an approach of trying to pull the thing to pieces. I just heard it over and over again, and eventually it dropped in my heart. And it says, if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, you are trusting and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead. It's just a truth that you know, that you know, that you know. How? By the Holy Spirit himself. That's another thing. He bears witness in our spirits. We looked at that scripture in Romans 8. That the another thing that he does, he bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God and that we can cry out, Abba. Well, it's the same thing. We know he raised Jesus from the dead because the Spirit of God bears witness in our hearts. Now look here. It says, okay, if you believe, trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And now it explains, verse 10. This is going on from verse 9. It says, for with the heart a person believes, you come to that place where you rely on, trust in Christ. Okay? And that is what makes you, that justifies you. And it says, and with the mouth, confesses. What does he confess? He confesses that Jesus, he says, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. He believes what the word said to him, and he speaks it out of his mouth. And then it says, this confirms his salvation. You see that? So in other words, and this is something that we see in God. The things of God are activated with our mouths. Your salvation, the very first miracle, and probably the greatest miracle that ever happens, is the word comes, you hear it, and in my case, I was able to hold on to it, not because I was an amazing person, but because I kept hearing it. And eventually it took root in my heart, and I was able to speak out my mouth. I do believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, something that's very interesting is, that's beside the point, but I'm not going to comment on what goes on, what we see here. But look what it says. It says, God raised him from the dead. Why is that? Because if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, what you're actually saying is, I believe in the new life. And what we need, that word brings new life. Remember, we just said, we read in Hebrews 4, the word is living and active. It brings life. So the person who does this has actually taken hold of the word, accepted it, and acted on the word. They've believed in their heart, they've confessed with their mouth. And it says, through that, they have confirmed their salvation. Can I just hear, again, just another translation there? Romans 10 verse 10. Okay. You confess and are saved. So it's by speaking the word. Very, very interesting, because let's just go to Psalm 91. This thing of saying, I'm watching that. And this is such a well-loved psalm. And let's read from verse 1. Psalm 91. It's just another expression. Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. What does verse 2 say? I will say, and if I say that, what does verse 3 say? Okay, let me read what it says here in this one. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on Him I lean and rely, in Him I trust. For then, if I say, then He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Then He will cover me with His pinions. Why? Because I say. Isn't that just the same thing? I'm confirming of the Lord. It says in Romans 10, verse 10, by speaking the word out my mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Father. It says, I have now confirmed my salvation with the word of my testimony. And it's exactly the same. If you look in, okay, Hebrews 4. Now we're going to Hebrews. This is speaking the word. Hebrews 4, verse 14. We've read verse 12, now we're reading verse 14. Oh, I just look there. It's all about the word again. Just a couple of lines up. All right, verse 14. It says, "Insomuch then," and this is carrying on from the word being alive and active. It says, "We have a great high priest who is ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession of faith in Him." Do you see that? Now, what is that confession of? Well, some people think, oh, we're confessing your sins. No, no. It says, in this translation, it says, our confession of faith. And the word there, the actual original Greek word says, we speak the same as. In other words, we speak His word. And His word, so in other words, what's an example? An example is this. I thank you, Lord. You've given me a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I have an excellent spirit. I have an excellent mind. And I know when I hear people saying, oh, well, I'm just getting old and I'm forgetting things, I say, that is ungodly talk. There is no such thing. Who was it? It was Lois. Wasn't it you? I get out of hand sometimes. I said, no, you have an excellent mind. That's your confession. That's, well, you just say, I can remember because I have an excellent mind. God has given me. You see, we speak the same as Jesus. I say of the Lord, He is my rock and refuge. Then He delivers me from the fowler's snare. I am now holding on to the word, and that word is going to produce 100-fold. I say of the Lord, He is my Lord, and He leads me by His Spirit, and I can do all things in Christ. You see what's happening? I hear people saying to me the whole time, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. Well, get a hold of the word, because the word is living and active. The word is living in you. It's forming you. The word is enabling you to walk into your inheritance. The word is saving your soul. The word is a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. The word is healing to your flesh, all your flesh and bones. The word of God is truth. The word will open the way. Okay, that's enough. Thank you, Father, for your word.